Mother's Day. So Mother's Day was the first service that I did when I got in trouble. I got in trouble because in 1995, is that 20 years ago? No, 1995, is that 20 years ago? That's it, that's the year. We get forgetful as we get older, some of us. In 1995, I did a sermon at a congregation called Casa del Pueblo in Washington, D.C., a United Methodist congregation right off of 16th Street, right around the corner from All Souls Unitarian, which is the big Unitarian congregation in D.C. I was there as their youth minister, of all things, because I was the only person that they knew that spoke a little Spanish. Isn't that awful? My Spanish is very poor. But to them, it was a beginning. They changed their name from House of the Lord or House of the People to Casa del Pueblo because the community had largely become Latino. Nevertheless, I did this service about the wonders of motherhood. I praised mother's left. I praised mother's right. I was in love with everything mothering that day. And at the end of the service, some 10 to 15 people gathered to greet me. These 10 or 15 people were not happy with the mothering they had received in life. They beat me left, they beat me right. If they could have tarred and feathered me that day, I would have been quite the sight. It was the most excruciating ministry experience I've ever gone through, and I've never forgotten it. And so each Mother's Day, I approached this service with a bit of trepidation. Is that the word?
Yes.
Trepidation. Trepidation. And as I did some research, I was like, oh boy, this is even scarier. Because mothers are under assault. Mothering is under assault. And I've even been charged by my sister and others as being one of those who are assaulted. And so I want to unpack something because mothers are why we're all here, at least in part, right? I mean, we owe a debt of gratitude to mothers. And I'll start this dialogue with some fun facts about mothers. I have right in front of me. Okay. Mother's Day fun facts. Number one, the youngest mother. Have you any idea who the youngest mother was or how old she was? Most of us don't. Okay, youngest mother. Her name was Lina Medina. She is the youngest confirmed mother in medical history, giving birth at the age of 5 years, 7 months, and 17 days. She gave birth to a 6.5-pound boy by C-section in Lima, Peru in 1939. The oldest mother, have we got a guess for the oldest mother? 65, 72. Wow, you are way up there. Let's see. The oldest mother. Though there have always been some confusions over exactly who the oldest mother in the world is, there are quite a few women who have given birth at ages that would surprise us. Rahul Deva Lohan from a remote village of Hisar, Haryana, India, hit the headlines in 2010 when she gave birth to a baby girl named Nadine, following the controversial IVF treatment. Lohan was 70 years of age. Another report claims that Omkari Panwar, also from India, gave birth to twins at age 66 in December 2006. She died in 2009. Till then, Sabiyama Mahapata, a retired school teacher in India, was the oldest mother who gave birth to a baby boy at the age of 65. We've got to talk to these Indian women. They've got some secrets the rest of us don't know. Number three of the facts. Most surviving children from a single birth. You know how many? All right, let's go.
America's Bobby McCaughey holds a record for giving birth. Did you say seven? To the most surviving children from a single birth. She gave birth to the set of surviving septuplets, four boys and three girls, in November 1997 at University of Iowa Hospital. How about the shortest interval between pregnancies or births?
Irish twins.
Irish twins. I've got an aunt and uncle born in the same year. Yes. Okay, so Jane Beckley gave birth to Joseph Robert on September 3rd, 1999, and Ann Jessica Joyce on the 30th of March. The babies were born only 208 days apart, setting the record for the shortest interval. Okay, how about the longest stretch between giving birth? Any ideas? Throw out a number? Okay. Well, here's the official count anyway. The highest ever officially recorded number of children born to a single... Oh, that's the next one. The longest interval between two children, Elizabeth Ann Buttle holds a record for the longest interval. She gave birth to Belinda on May 19, 1956, and Joseph on November 20th, 1997. The babies were born 41 years and 185 days apart. I'm just glad she was still in it. Because, I mean, wow. That's pretty good. She's still at it. So, what's the most number of children ever recorded, you think?
Two.
Yeah, how many births?
25.
Okay. My grandmother had 14. I thought that was a lot. Okay. The highest ever officially recorded number of children born to a single mother is 69. I didn't know you had that many eggs. 69, wow. To the first wife of Fedor Vasilyev of Shuha, Russia. In a total of 27 confinements, she reportedly gave birth to 16 pairs of twins, seven sets of triplets, and four sets of quadruplets. This was in 1707 to 1782. This is before the material to give multiple births, right? What do you call that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, all right. So let's hope that one is accurate. Number seven, and the last of these, I think, maybe. The most number of children in modern times in the contemporary world, the world record for giving birth to the most number of children is held by Leotina Albina from San Antonio, Chile, who claims to be the mother of 64 children, although only 55 of them have been documented. 55 documented. All right. And let me throw this one out. A woman becomes most easily pregnant at what age?
The most easily pregnant.
Yes. 16. Pretty close. 18.
Yeah.
18 it is. Fertile years. Bad choice, but fertile years. The ancient Egyptians believed that Bast is the mother of all cats on earth and that cats are sacred animals. So if you're into Egyptology, give Bast some love. In the Bible, Eve is credited as being the mother of all living things, not just of humans. So most evil or Christian or Islamic theologians don't talk about it, but when you unpack the language used around Eve, she's actually like Mother Earth, Eve, okay? And here's the last one I'll give you. In the vast majority of world languages, the word for mother begins with what letter? T. T. Don't you have Tata? I knew some kid that called their grandmother Tata or something. T. So who knew? T. Tata. Maybe it's the easiest thing to say. I don't know. We have a linguist out there. All right. Enough of all that chat. So here I go on this motherhood thing. Motherhood is the highest, holiest service assumed by humankind, I believe. It's the definition of selflessness.
It's both a daunting responsibility and a glorious opportunity. The divine role of motherhood is a gift, I believe, from God and the key to the divine's plan for all of the children. Okay. Motherhood. Motherhood in modern times, though, has become something quite different. And I've been doing my research, and I found a piece just this morning, I believe, on the CBS morning show. Anybody see it? They went to Italy to understand why Italian women are having the least births of all the Western European women. In all of Western Europe, Italian women have the least, maybe in all of Europe, I believe. And it was quite striking. The Italian government gives no support to mothers, essentially. There is no after-school programming. There is no daycare. There is no lunch meals provided by the school systems in Italy. Women are pushing the age of childbearing to about 38 on average, and most typically 40 seems to be where they're reaching for. Italian women are struggling. What the report failed to do was to look at the misogynistic culture that is alive and well in Italy and in probably most of the world, and how women are struggling. Women are struggling mightily. Not only are you supposed to bring home the tofu or bacon, cook it up in the pan, but you're never, 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 ever supposed to deny your man. You see, women are under assault, and the society that we live in hasn't begun to treat you fairly, and I'm well aware of it. So what do we do? How do we honor women? How do we honor mothers? How do we honor the nurturing spirits that have helped create all of us? Because human babies can't survive without those nurturing spirits. They had that horrible case of the children in Russia who were in the, orphanage, thank you. And the babies that were not held, see, they fed them, they changed their diapers, but babies that weren't held and cooed and cuddled and made over, died. They died by the hundreds over a course of years as they studied the effects of non-nurture on the human baby. Now, it's simple to me. You give birth, you nurture. But clearly from the piece that we read this morning, we know that that's not what it's just about. You see, it takes a village meant more than just supporting those little ones that are running about, and we all are kind of looking out for their goodwill, their welfare. It's about nurturing young girls so they know how to become a woman. And it's about nurturing our boys, how they'll know how to be someone's partner. It's about a transformative way of life experience that says the nurturing of all of our community, young, old, in between, is all of our jobs, not just the jobs of mothers and women. I've become painfully aware of the sad realities when I worked at Harlem Hospital and we had so many young girls come to the hospital to give birth. They had had no prenatal care. None whatsoever, despite the fact that there are clinics available for them. I became painfully aware of the lack of care for mothers as when I left the hospital late in the evening, particularly on warm summer nights, I would see children as young as 3 up and about on the streets of Harlem in the middle of the night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on hot, sultry nights. Now, I understand the apartments of Burnham Up High, and I understand it's hard to stay in a tenement or a ramshackle space, and yet something's got to be done. For years, I've had this idea about a drop-in center for parents. Male, female, wouldn't matter, grandparents, who just need a respite from the care of children. Why can't we have 24-hour drop-in centers so that children could be nurtured? You don't have to be an infant. You could be a 12-year-old who shouldn't be left home alone in the middle of a night. We don't begin to love our children nor the women that give birth to them enough. And we've got to do something. We're at a critical juncture in the history of this nation as we have the first really viable female candidate for the presidency. And yet, is Hillary going to voice all of the issues that women need voiced in this nation? Does she have the audacity to stand up to men, not just about hawkish issues, not just about whether the banking system is right, but about the common sense reality that the children of America and the elderly of America suffer because the women of America have been mistreated and are asked to do far too much? There's not a national conversation about what it is to be mothering, and there ought to be. The nation has to grow up and understand if you want your children to succeed well, and you want us to care for the parenting group, and you want us to take care of the elderly, that you've got to be a nation that nurtures us all, and most importantly, those who hold together families, and for most of us, that's the matriarch of our family, the woman. My ode to motherhood and to women today has to do with a transformative set of behaviors that I've got to step forward into to help myself and my brother and all males to see that we owe something more to women than flowers on Mother's Day and a good roll in the hay. There's got to be more said and done for women in school systems where even female teachers consistently call on male boys in a classroom over girls because somehow boys are idealized and girls continue to be second-class citizens. This religious movement of ours, Unitarian Universalism, has been quite good about lifting up the GLBT community. We've been quite good even at trying to nurture some ministers of color. I've gotten a good bit of support from Boston over the years. But little support have I ever seen for those who are struggling in parenting. And far too few Unitarian Universalist congregations offer after-school programming, senior day programming, parenting classes, nutrition classes. If the church or congregations are to be the focal point of people's lives, and as community is lost more and more because of our transient nature, then we as a religious and spiritual community must offer things that will support women, children, the elderly, families, mothering. The options aren't good. Nursing homes that don't really care about our loved ones are the future for many of us unless we change the dynamics of how care and mothering are given precedent in our society. Lonely days in chairs in front of a television set or gazing out a window will be the lifestyle of far too many of us unless we change the dynamics of how we view nurturance in this society. What's the answer, folks? What do? Where do we go? I don't see a million-person march on Washington for mothering in toto. I see things that say women deserve to break through glass ceilings. I see things that say girls deserve equal funding and spending in athletics and things. I don't see women's health issues being of equal value to the medical community. I don't see, in particular for me as a black man, enough black men standing up and saying black men need to do better by their women, their mothers, their sisters, their daughters. I don't see enough white men who are saying we're going to change the dynamics of the conversation about power structure in the society so that women will be on equal footing as men and not the poorest members of our society. Women and children suffer disproportionately. I'm calling on you to hear me today. Anybody that might listen to this sermon that Greg will post, I imagine. Maybe not. He said this isn't one of Gordon's good ones. Let's get involved, folks. Let's do more. If you're not mentoring a young girl, find one. If you're not connected to an elderly person, find one. If you're not part of community planning that makes sure the parks and the libraries and the other structures that are there to nurture us all, please get involved. Mothering is all of our jobs. It doesn't belong to those who wear the pretty hats or the makeup. It doesn't belong to those who have given birth. It's a human issue, and it's going to require a human response from us all. May this Mother's Day be good to you. May the memories you hold sustain you through the long years of our lives. May you continue to make new friends and be a mothering spirit to all that meet you. Blessed be. Amen.